What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Sparky here, Charlie Usen producing the show. The reason I play that audio clip coming up before I get to our next guest, Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Doherty, is because the Jets tweeted out they have completed their interview for head coach with Jeff Hafley here this afternoon. And with that, I ask you, Pete Doherty, how big of a loss would it be for this Packers team if, by some long shot chance, he gets that job?
I would say pretty big. I don't know that there's anybody on staff who's just immediately springs to mind
Sala
as a replacement. Well, I mean, he's not really on staff. I mean, if they hired Hafley tomorrow, then yeah. But Salah, you know, if it takes another few days or weeks, Salah might not be available.
True.
He's interviewing for other jobs. So he would be the natural replacement. But like guys who are actually, you know, really on the staff, you know, I don't see anybody there who could replace him.
So then you're having to go back out again and try and find a defensive coordinator. And hopefully, obviously, I'm not trying to hold the guy back from getting a head coaching job, but from a Packer fan standpoint, hopefully he doesn't get that job. And there are some Packer fans that don't get down with Hafley for whatever the reason, but I don't think there's any arguing how much better this defense got this year versus where it was under Joe Barry.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are better for sure. I think they finished 6th in points. And
yep.
I'd have to, the two big barometers that Dom Capers told me about this years ago, and I think he's probably right. If you want to look at just the basic stats, the two best are to look at points and defensive passer rating. And I think they were top 10 in defensive passer rating too. Maybe not. Maybe they were like 11 or 12. But they were clearly, you know, the stats were better than last year. And I thought they played a little, just a half tick faster than they did for Underberry also. So yeah, I thought there was a noticeable difference. Others may disagree, but it sure looked to me like there was a noticeable difference.
Obviously, pass rush was an issue when you're talking about trying to run your front four. And Goody brought that up yesterday as well, as far as they were going well in preseason. And during preseason, I kept saying, maybe the Packers' offensive line isn't as good as we think, and maybe that's why they're getting home as much as they are, or maybe they are as good as they look at this point. It didn't end up being the way everybody thought, and then they end up letting go of their line coach, and then apparently, according to Ian Rappaport, interviewed the Jets' line coach.
Yeah, in camp, I think the Packers' offensive line is fine this year. I mean, I thought they played pretty
good
football.
Yes, but I'm just saying, in preseason and training camp,
right,
at that point, that's what I was speculating, like maybe they're not as good as we think.
Right, and but the point is, Zach Tom missed the first couple weeks of camp.
Yep.
And that's when Rashawn Gary was really just eating, just chewing everything up. He was almost every day he'd get in during 11-on-11, he'd get in for a sack or two just about every day. And, you know, he was going against Dillard, who really struggled at right tackle. So looking back at that, I think that gave the false sense that Gary was going to have this, you know, really big year. And obviously he did not. And then even when Tom came back, it took him, you know, a couple of weeks to get his sea legs. You know, he had that torn, I think it was a torn pec?
I think so, yeah.
I think that's what it was. So he was, you know, it took him a couple of weeks to, you know, get back into it. So he wasn't really ready to go until the season started. And so that probably gave, as much as anything, that gave a false sense of what their rushing talent was.
But is it the defensive line coach's fault then, or is he just an scapegoat because the guys just weren't as good as what they thought they were?
That's always, you know, you got to be on the inside, I think, to know this stuff. All you can do is you can look at both the defensive line and the receiving core and say, man, don't see much improvement there. And so is that the coach or is that the players? It's kind of an age-old question. And, you know, like Van Ness, you haven't seen any improvement in his pass rush moves. You know, he plays hard and he plays the run well, but he's still, you know, kind of a crude pass rusher. So, you know, I guess somebody was going to have to fall, and they can't get rid of all those players. You know, they still need, even though Gary's underperformed, they still need him. So, yeah, the coach goes. And, not being inside the building and being in meetings and, you know, on practice, on the practice field for all the practice every day, I think you got to be there to really have a good feel for how much of it was the defensive line coach's responsibility.
Time with Pete Doherty, the Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Doherty. He joins us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on the Fan. Sparky with you. Pete, what about Jaire Alexander Goody? We played these clips in the last hour. Talking about how he doesn't necessarily think there's a disconnect, that both sides, you know, want him out in the field. And unfortunately, he hasn't been able to get out on the field. Jaire at the end didn't want to talk to any of y'all and said pretty much he had nothing positive to say and didn't know if he'd even be back next year. So I ask you, do you think he's back next year?
I would bet no. I would bet fairly heavily no. I mean, you can't rule it out. Maybe you can't. There's no way he's back at the $17.5 million he's going to make next season. I mean, he has missed way too many games to even consider paying that if you're the Packers. Could they conceivably come to a pay cut resolution? You know, maybe knock it down to, I don't know, I'm just wild guess, you know, $10 million. I mean, conceivably. But even then, that's pretty steep for a guy who doesn't play in many games if you're the Packers. And I don't know that Alexander would accept that. He might just say, no, I'm not taking a pay cut. Go ahead and cut me, and I'll take my chances on the open market. So I think the smart money says, you know, really good odds that that Alexander's gone.
You know, we were talking about this, and Goody brought it up about cornerback depth on this team. You've got Stokes as a free agent. You got Ballantyne as a free agent. Then if you move on from Jaire Alexander on top of it, now you're left with Ballantyne, Bullard, if you're going to keep him where he is, which I think you have to. Keyshawn Nixon, who thinks he's a cornerback one, which is fun. But then it's going to be, okay, so you have this money. Where are you going to spend your money? Are you going to take some of this free agent money and go spend it on an older player in free agency for a year or two deal to come in and add to this cornerback room? Do you invest a couple of picks in the draft and continue to go young in that cornerback room? Like, I just struggle coming up with replacing a guy that's as good as he is. I understand he hasn't been available. Like, I totally get it, and fine. But that's just a big hole to try and fill. What he allows that defense to do when he's on the field is different than when he's not on the field.
Yeah, he's really good. The thing I would worry about if I were them with him is, you know, it's not just that he's been hurt and, you know, missed games, but there's an accumulation of injuries. He's had a lot of them. We saw this even going back to Clay Matthews. You know, these injuries accumulate and they diminish a player's athleticism. And, you know, Alexander's not 24 anymore. I think
right.
He's, what is he, 28, I think, maybe, or about to be 28?
I think he's 27 right now, but he'll be 28, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I would be concerned about that, too. Sometimes you just have to move on from guys. It's just better for both parties. If I were, you know, you brought up what they could do, I'm doing both those things. I'm signing a player or two in free agency. The corner market, from I've looked at it earlier, and it's not real impressive.
Nope.
I mean, there's no McKinney, you know, equivalent of McKinney, you know, cornerback or Josh Jacobs caliber cornerback out there. You never know who might get cut, who they could sign to a stopgap, you know, 1 or 2 year, you know, kind of thing. And I'm drafting two or three of those guys, two or three corners, if I'm the Packers too. I would do both, though. They gotta protect themselves, and so I'd do both.
We were talking about this earlier too. Gutekunst talking about, you know, the youth and the inexperience, and whether or not that can be a factor in what happened here in the second year. My thoughts were on defense, fine, right? Edrin Cooper, maybe he made mistakes his rookie year. Bullard, when he went from, you know, nickel to having to go out and play safety after Evan Williams got hurt, okay, fine, maybe there's some issues there. I can see it a little bit on the defensive side of the ball. I'm not willing to accept it on the offensive side of the ball at all. How did you view that?
Yeah, so like after that last game, and I was, you know, sitting in the press box in Philly and banging out a column, you know, I was thinking about, you know, they're by the end of this past season, even though they're young in age, and Gutekunst even alluded to this yesterday, even though they're young in age, they're not inexperienced. I mean, all these guys have played a lot of football now. The one place where experience is really important, where they were still kind of inexperienced, was quarterback. You know, Love was in his second year as a starter. So I think that showed up a lot. That's the one place where I think if I'm evaluating this team and work for them, you know, I'm being more forgiving there, because quarterbacks, you know, they need snaps. It's not that unusual for a guy to play pretty decent football his first year as a starting quarterback and to struggle some that second year and not make this huge step forward that you're looking for. I mean, even C.J. Stroud did not have that good a year for Houston this year, and he was great last season. So that's kind of my take is. Now, next year, by the halfway through next year, Love will not be an inexperienced quarterback anymore. He'll have played a pretty good amount of football, and they need to start seeing, reaping the rewards and making hay from, you know, all the things he's had to learn, you know, these last two seasons. So overall, I mean, I agree with you overall. The one guy I would cut a little slack with is the quarterback, and by halfway through next season, you know, that's not an issue either. He'll be a pretty experienced quarterback.
Let's stay with the quarterback, Pete Doherty. Let's talk about Tom Clemens retiring again as quarterback's coach, and now that hole that he leaves. I'm concerned because I think you definitely saw a jump when Clemens came back at Rodgers' behest as far as how much better Jordan Love got once he showed back up. Having said that, the thought process amongst Packer fans, I think at this point, is, well, it's going to be Luke Getsy again. He'll be the quarterback's coach, and he'll just fill that role. Now, you've got guys on TV like Dan Orlovsky talking about, oh, I might have interest in coming in and doing that. If it's you, it's the Packers, what's your biggest concern about Clemens walking away, and where would you look to try and replace him?
The biggest concern would be he's just this figure of calm and everything's fine and this really steadying influence besides being a really smart guy. And I think his track record suggests, you know, not sure how good an offensive coordinator he was, but for sure he is a really good quarterback coach. I mean, that seems hard to dispute. So they're losing real quality there. I would think, you know, Getsy was really, really well liked by both the McCarthy staff and LaFleur. So, you know, I would think he'd be a front runner. I can't believe I'm blanking up. Is it Mannion? Is there the quarterback's
Sean Mannion? Yep.
Yeah. I would think he'd be a real possibility too, because LaFleur, when he hired him last spring and we talked to him about him, at the owner's meeting, he spoke really highly of him. I think he must have worked with him, must have been in L.A. and with the Rams. And he just, you could tell he thought really highly of the guy, and even at that time was encouraging him to go into coaching when he was done playing. So maybe it'll be him. Maybe they'll want a really young, super, super hungry coach to work with Love. So it could go that way too. I would say I would be really surprised if it wasn't those two. Maybe there's some dark horse candidate out there we just don't know about, but just looking at it from the outside, it would be pretty surprising if it wasn't one of those two guys.
It's on Pete Doherty, Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Doherty. He joins us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on the Fan. Sparky with you. What are a couple of things you'd want to see Jordan Love work on? For me, it's stop throwing off the back foot. When there's an ability to run and people are covered, please take it and don't throw to your left to a running back to get crushed. And then obviously decision-making. I think the first two are very fixable. The third one, I don't know.
Yeah, the footwork was a thing last year too.
Yep.
You know, I talked to his quarterback's coach, you know, his personal coach, and they right when the season ended, and he said that's job number one. So I think that's probably a constant thing. I do wonder how much the knee affected him even once he was back playing and back feeling pretty healthy. I still wonder how much it affected him. He didn't look quite the same in the pocket as he did before the injury, or as he did in camp and even late last season. He just looked a little more skittish. So I wonder if that was in his head. But the footwork fundamental stuff, you know, this game is all about play speed. Tom Brady had the slowest feet of any quarterback ever, but he could play fast. His mind and his ability to get the ball out was incredible, how fast he could play. And so that's the part that you don't know about till they play a lot. And that's the thing that'll come with playing time. And I think he just needs the game to slow down just one more tick to be a really, really good quarterback.
Pete, I got two more questions for you. Two more. Josh Myers, Goody spoke glowingly about, pretty much saying it's the best season he's had. It looks like he escaped any type of serious injury at the end of the season. He also is a free agent. Now, if you go based on Pro Football Focus, he didn't grade out all that high necessarily. But knowing what you have on this offensive line, knowing you can move Jenkins to center, and you have different options there, and that allows you to get Jordan Morgan into the lineup, did it really matter what he did this year? Had they already moved on, do you think?
I think so, unless he had played just, you know, like really, really high level. Yeah, that was kind of my thought process even going into the season. You know, like you said, they got Jenkins. Sean Ryan could play in there. They ended up moving him over, you know, during the game after Myers went out. Using either Jenkins or Ryan, that would open a spot for Jordan Morgan to start. They're going to want to get him on the field. I was really intrigued by Jacob Monk in camp. He improved a lot over the several weeks at camp. And he just, you know how some of these guys, especially offensive linemen and especially centers, you know, you look at them on the hoof and they just don't look that good. They don't look very impressive at all, but they just find a way to get it done. Even Corey Linsley was that kind of guy.
Sure.
He ended up being really good. I just got a vibe off this guy, watching him play and watching him improve. I just got a feeling, you know, I wonder if this guy could end up being a pretty good center. So I think they have so many candidates. You cannot pay everybody. They need, you know, we've just gone over corner, pass rusher, receiver is a huge need. You know, you can't pay everybody. And so I'm guessing that, you know, they really like Myers and his leadership and everything, but I'm guessing they'll let him walk. Somebody out there will pay him a pretty good contract, and they'll say thanks for everything, and they'll replace him with somebody on the roster.
I'm with you. Can't pay everyone, but they better pay the next guy I'm going to bring up. He claims he wants him back, and I'm sure it will be not necessarily a cheap date at the position, but I don't want to go through this again. They better bring back Brandon McManus regardless of price.
Yeah, it'd be stunning if they did not come to an agreement there. I mean, after all they've been through,
yes,
you know, although after all they went through for a year and a half there, and they've got it, they think they have a good team that can contend. You got to have a reliable kicker, so it would be stunning if they did not get something done there.
Yes, Pete Doherty does great work. Must read stuff. Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Doherty. Pete, thanks for coming on. Have a good weekend, bud.
Yeah, you too, Sparky. Thanks for having me. Always great talking with you.